Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Lord of the Rings AMA podcast. My name is Matthias Austin, and on this podcast, I invite you to ask me anything about Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, or anything related to the greater legendarium of J.R.R. Tolkien, and I will do my best to give you as in-depth an answer as I can. Now, this week is going to be a little bit different from our last several shows. I was in the process of putting my notes together for a question about why the elves live where they do in Middle-earth. And during that note gathering, I realized there was going to be way too much background needed to make that episode clear and concise. So in order to avoid a super long episode next week, I've decided to spend this episode giving you all of the background information you will need for not only next week's question, but most of the questions we're ever going to have about elves in general. So instead of the normal AMA, this is the Elven Explanation Extravaganza episode, and by the end of it, you will know the difference between a Noldoran elf, a Sylvan elf, and a Vari elf, and all of the other different types of elves in Middle-earth. Because of how many there are, it is very easy to get lost, so I'm going to be putting a link in the show notes that visually shows you all of the differences on like a chart. So please feel free to click that link and follow along, but not like if you're driving or anything like that. Maybe if you're at work and you don't want to be working and you need something to distract yourself, click on that link, open up the chart, and follow along as we go through this episode. In many ways, this is a direct continuation of episode 3, What is the Creation Mythology of Middle-earth? That episode ended with elves awakening beneath the stars in the far east of Middle-earth in the land of Quivienen. The Valar were currently living in the far west across the sea in Aman or Valinor, where the light of the two trees shine. And Melkor was living in the far north in his fortress of Utumno with his Balrogs and Sauron. He was corrupting animals, making large evil beasts, and occasionally the Vala, Orome, the hunter, would cross the sea, come back to Middle-earth to hunt these beasts in the forests of Middle-earth. One day, as he hunted, he heard something he had never heard before in his time in Arda. He heard singing. Following the voices, he came to Quivienen, and he revealed himself to the elves. And the elves, they didn't call themselves elves, they called themselves Quendi, which means those that speak with voices. And Orome spent time with them, and he taught them many, many things. He returned to Aman and told the other Valar, "Hey, listen, I found the firstborn of Iluvatar. I found the firstborn children of Iluvatar, the eldest. We need to do something so Melkor doesn't attack them." And at this point, the elves had heard rumors of a dark hunter, and some of these people had been abducted by evil things in the dark. Elves had just gone missing. And in the Silmarillion, it says this could be the origin of orcs. But Tolkien actually kept changing his mind about the origin of orcs, so we're going to leave that there for now. But suffice it to say, the elves were aware there was some sort of evil presence in the world that made them afraid. The Valar decide to go to war for the sake of the elves. And they take their armies of Maiar into Middle-earth, and they destroy Utumno, and they destroy many, but not all, of the Balrogs, and they capture Melkor, and he was chained up, and he was imprisoned in the halls of Mandos for 3 ages, which confusingly has nothing to do with the 3 ages that we see in Middle-earth. The Valar have their own timescale. As a side note, during that war, Sauron slipped away, and he wasn't caught. And he went to the fortress of Angband in the northwest and started building up Melkor's forces again. And as usually happens when the Valars fought, mountains crumbled, seas flooded the land, geography changed, but the elves in Quivienen, they were protected from all of that. So Orome, he returns to the elves and he says, "Hey, you guys, come with me to Valinor. We have light and it's safe and we just think you guys are awesome. Come on, live with us over there." But the elves are a little unsure, so he takes 3 sort of clan leaders with him to Valinor to show them around, and their names are Ingwe, Finwë, and Elwë. Ingwe, Finwë, Elwë. Each of them becomes a king of their different people. They become kings of the elves. So their names are important. They come back to their people and they say, okay, Valinor is sick. Like, there's light and it's peaceful and there's nothing to fear. It's literally elf heaven. It's actually the place where elves go when they die. So the elves discuss, okay, and here we get the first split of the elves. Because all of the elves in the entire world are living in Cui Vienen. And a lot of the elves choose to go with Orome back to Valinor. And the elves that choose to go are called the Eldar. The ones who say, no, we know Cui Vienen, we like Cui Vienen, we're staying in Cui Vienen. They're called the Avari, which means the unwilling. So the first split with the elves is the Eldar and the Avari. In some of his unfinished writings, Tolkien describes different tribes of the Avari, but not in enough depth for us to really get into. And they don't really come into any story ever again, so this is the first and last time we're going to hear about the Avari. The Eldar have three main tribes, led by the elves that Orome took to Valinor. The House of Ingwe are called the Vanyar, and they're the easiest to keep track of, because they were the smallest tribe, and they just kind of head west and never stop. They get to Valinor, they never leave. You've never seen a Vanyar elf in The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings. They're also called the Fair Elves because they're the most beautiful. They're just like super hot elves, canonically. The next tribe is led by Finwë, and they are called the Noldor. Sometimes they're called the Deep Elves because they're the wisest elves and the most skilled at making things. They're the second largest group, and they're a little more complicated in their history. They all head west, they make it to Valinor, but events transpire and they come back and end up causing most of the trouble that ever happens in Middle-earth. We will talk about that a little bit later in this episode. The last group is the largest, the truly massive amount of elves, so much that they have two kings to manage everyone. The two kings are Elwë, who is the ambassador to Valinor, and Olwë, his brother. Now these are the Teleri elves, and they give the most headaches to people trying to track which elves are which, because they keep splitting off along the journey, and every time they do, each group that splits off gets a different name. The journey from Cui Vienen was like 2,000 miles to the coast, but there weren't roads, so they were just kind of generally wandering the westerly direction with their entire population, tens of thousands of elves, and the Teleri just kind of kept getting distracted along the way. They're like the ADHD elves. They keep losing focus. The first big split of the Teleri happens when they reach the Anduin River, and this is the river they travel down in Lord of the Rings. It's when they leave Lothlorien, they're taking the boats down before they get to the Falls of Rauros. That's the River Anduin, and they've just walked through this big, beautiful, massive forest, which we know as it's Mirkwood in The Hobbit, but the elves had called it for years Greenwood the Great, this massive forest. But it ends up being Mirkwood. And they see the river, this big river, and behind the river, the scary, misty mountains standing up stark against the sky. And some of the Teleri at that point just say, you know what, we're good, we're fine. And this group, they're called the Nandor, which means those who turn back. If you've ever watched What We Do in the Shadows, that's both an easy name to remember and also a little confusing. So the Nandor stay in the area around the Anduin River and the southern reaches of Greenwood the Great, or Mirkwood, but only for a little bit, and we're going to come back to them. The Teleri that keep going, along with the Vanyar and the Noldor, cross the Misty Mountains and make their way through, like, the Shire area, eventually coming to the Blue Mountains. And in The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, there's a little bit of land past the Blue Mountains called Lindon, where elves, led by Círdan the Shipwright, live. And this is where Frodo goes at the end of the story to sail into the west. That's the western shore of all of Middle-earth in the Second and Third Age. But in the First Age, which is where we're taking place now, there's a whole other land to the west of that area, called Beleriand. It eventually will get destroyed in the war that ends the First Age, but it's where most of the Silmarillion is set. The Vanyar and the Noldor cross through Beleriand, reach the far shore, and the Valar basically use a like a large floating island. They uproot an island and use it to ferry them across the ocean to get back and forth from Middle-earth to Valinor. The Teleri, being the slowest group, they have to wait longer for their turn on this sort of island ferry going back and forth. And so while they're waiting, they just kind of hang out in Beleriand. And their king, Elwë, is wandering through the woods one day, just kind of chilling, when he comes across a woman. Her name is Melian, and she's actually a Maia who has taken on a physical form. Now they see each other, and they fall deeply in love at first sight. And he becomes transfixed, literally transfixed. For months and months, he just stands there staring into her eyes. As time passed around him, his people, they start searching for him, but they couldn't find him. The time eventually came for the Teleri to leave. The Vanyar, the Noldor, had already gotten across. The fairy island came back, and the Teleri, it was their turn next. And Olwë, Elwë's brother, the other king of the Teleri, led most of the Teleri across the sea to Valinor. Some other stuff happened to that group along the way, but they never come back to Middle-earth, so we don't need to get into that right now. A significant number of Teleri, though, remain in Beleriand because they don't want to abandon their king. They want to keep searching for him. And eventually, Elwë snaps out of his trance, and he marries Melian the Maia. And he's the only being in history to wed one of the Ainur, one of the Holy Ones. And they end up having a daughter, Lúthien, one of the most, if not the most important elves in history. But that's not what this episode is about, so I don't want to give more details about her story. If you hadn't noticed, I do this a lot where I say, sure hope somebody asked me a question about this down the road. What a really interesting thing. Feel free to ask any questions you want. Email in to lotramapod@gmail.com. If anything I'm saying triggers some questions for you. Anyway, a bunch of the Teleri have been waiting for Elwë, and when he appears, he seems changed, more noble, due to this love of Melian that he has. These elves become known as the Sindar, or the Grey Elves. Grey because though they never themselves saw the light of the trees, their king, Elwë, did, and the light of the trees was reflected in him as well as in Melian, his queen. That's probably like a metaphorical light. Like, there's a lot of times where they, in the Silmarillion, it says like the light of the trees shone from their face. It's probably just more they were wiser, or it was like a light of knowledge or something like that. But anyway, so the Grey Elves, the Sindar Elves, are now living in Beleriand. And as time went on, the language of the Sindar Elves diverged from the elves that went to Valinor. And while in Valinor, the elves spoke Quenyan, the elves in Beleriand spoke Sindarin. And in Sindarin, Elwë's name was changed to Thingol. And that's what he goes by for the rest of his life, the name Thingol. Eventually, the Nandor, we left them behind, remember? The Nandor living in the area between the Anduin and Greenwood the Great, they split again. And a section of them, led by an elf named Denethor, yes, Denethor, Gondorians really liked to take names from the heroes of the past. So Denethor leads this group of Nandor across the Misty Mountains, and they make their way to Beleriand. They were granted leave to live in this area called Assyriand, and you know, I'm actually going to link a map in the show notes as well, a map of Beleriand, just because it helps tracking some of these things. So click on that link as well if you want to see what I'm talking about. So anyway, the land that the group led by Denethor is Assyriand, which was in the east of Beleriand, and it's sort of in that area that in The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings was Lindon. So in the later books, it's like the far west of Middle-earth. But in this, it's the far east of the land of Beleriand. Denethor was their king, but Thingol was sort of like the High King of all of the Sindar elves in Beleriand. Denethor's elves were called the Lyquendi, or the Green Elves. And so though the Green Elves now come and live in Beleriand, and they have their own King Denethor, but Denethor defers to the king of the Sindar, Thingol. The elves of the Nandor that didn't go with Denethor are called the Sylvan Elves, or the Wood Elves. And these elves make up the majority of the population of Lothlorien and the woodland realm of Thranduil. But we're going to talk about that more next week. But the elves that we see in Lothlorien and in The Hobbit, most of those are Sylvan Elves. The Sindarin Elves in Beleriand lived primarily in two places. Doriath, where Thingol's underground city of Menegroth was, and then along the shore, where Círdan the shipwright led them, but Círdan was again a subject of Thingol. So I'm going to do a recap here. Avari are elves that didn't travel towards Valinor. The Eldar were the elves that took the road west. Three main groups of Eldar. Vanyar, who went to Valinor and never returned. Noldor, who went to Valinor but did return. And Teleri, who fragmented along the journey. From east to west, you have, of the Eldar who left, you have Sylvan Elves, who lived east of the Anduin River, Green Elves, who entered Beleriand but lived in the east of it, Sindar, or Grey Elves, that lived in Beleriand with Thingol as their king and Melian as their queen, and in Valinor, the rest of the Teleri, with Olwë as their king. A little bit more information is needed here before I can finish up all the background for next week's episode. And that's to talk about the Noldor. They learned a lot in Valinor from Aulë the Smith, because they were very crafty and wise, and they loved making things. And the greatest smith of the Noldor, and probably of any elf that ever existed, was a guy named Feanor, which his name means Spirit of Fire. He created these gems called the Silmarils, which were said to capture and reflect the light of the two trees of Valinor. And eventually, Melkor was freed from his prison, and he was allowed to live in Valinor with the other Valar and the elves. And Feanor and Melkor hated each other. Just truly despised each other. And Feanor, he never trusted Melkor when Melkor claimed he was rehabilitated. Melkor wanted the Silmarils that Feanor had made, and so he teams up with Ungoliant, who was Shelob's, in Lord of the Rings, the big spider. Shelob's, like, great, 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 a lot of greats, thousands and thousands years worth of greats, grandmothers. And she kills the two trees, plunging the whole world into darkness. They then kill Feanor's dad, and they steal the Silmarils before fleeing back to Middle-earth. By the way, Feanor's dad is Finwë, the leader of all of the Noldoran elves. And they steal the Silmarils, and they flee back to Middle-earth. And Feanor, he whips about two-thirds of the Noldorians into, like, a frenzy. And they defy the Valar. Hey, it is not safe. Do not go after him. They're just jewels. They're just gems. It's not worth it. And they say, no, screw you guys. We're going over there. And they want to go back to Middle-earth to reclaim the Silmarils. But to do that, they end up killing many of the Teleri living in Valinor, because the Teleri have boats. And so they steal the ships of the Teleri and slaughter a lot of them. And that's the act that got them banned from ever returning. Before, it was like, hey, guys, don't go. It's not good for you. Once they start shedding other elven blood, the Valar say, if you leave, you can never come back. But they leave. And so most, again, like two-thirds of the Noldoran elves follow Feanor across the sea to Middle-earth. And they arrive in Beleriand, and they establish kingdoms for themselves, which Thingol does not really like, and it generally starts to create a big mess. So in that one section I just talked about with the Noldor, there are potentially dozens of future episodes. So I'm not going deeper into any of that now. But the point is that the Noldorans came back to Middle-earth. A lot of stuff happens. There's another huge war at the end of the First Age, and the land of Beleriand is utterly destroyed. The only remnant of the land is Assyriand, which becomes Lindon on the shores of the sea. The Noldor are eventually allowed to return to Valinor, and many of them do return. And many of the Sindar elves living in Beleriand also went to Valinor because Thingol was dead. He was murdered by dwarves, but there's not time to get into that. But many of the Sindar and Noldorian elves, they leave, but a lot of them choose to remain in Middle-earth, including some of the big-name people like Galadriel, Círdan, Gil-galad, Elrond, and Celebrimbor. The hierarchy of elves in Middle-earth at the start of the Second Age is roughly Noldoran elves are on top, then Sindar elves, then Sylvan elves, and then not even mentioned anywhere are the remaining Avari that were lost long, long, long ago. So that is the background information you need for next week's episode. And honestly, it'll be really helpful for a ton of the episodes going forward. Hopefully, given that this episode is already 20-ish minutes long, you can see why I decided to split this thing up into two different things, background and then answering the question. So next week, we'll get to the actual question that prompted this special episode. But for this week, we're just going to leave it right here. If anything I've said today sparked any questions, send it in to lotramapod@gmail.com, links in the show notes. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review. It really, really does help getting the word out about the show. I did make an Instagram account. It's lotramapod. I have made exactly 0 posts so far because I'm bad at social media, but it is my goal to get that thing into some sort of rhythm of posting memes or even just weekly episode reminders. I don't know. I got to figure out what I want to do with it. But follow us on Instagram, lotramapod on Instagram. Thank you, as always, to Lauren for her artwork. And I've started conversation with the composer, so we're going to have music really, really soon. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And that is all for this week. Iluvatar willing, I'll be back next week. See you then.